Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein.
Welcome everyone to the Packers News JS Online Green 19 podcast. Alongside Tom Silverstein, I am Olivia Reiner. We have made it to the end of day two. I should first say to everybody, good morning. It is officially morning, wherever you are, where we are, I should say. And we've made it to the end of another day of the draft. Lots to talk about as it comes to the Packers' actual draft selections. However, before we get into that, Tom, I love your draft blog, the live blog. I'll plug the blog for you here. Shameless plug. It's a lot of fun and you have a great time. And the bloggers that you've cultivated over there are a good group of people. And I was lurking, as I always do during the draft, as you all should. And a lot of questions about Aaron Rodgers, a lot of comments about Aaron Rodgers and where he stands with the Packers. And since we spoke yesterday on our podcast, I feel like your stance has evolved a little bit on the Rodgers situation. So I'm curious to know, you know, we got to sleep on it. Yesterday was a long day. We got to sleep on it. And we got to mull over it for the past 24 hours. Where do you stand now? Has any of your feelings changed, your thoughts changed since we last spoke?
Well, I've matured since yesterday. I actually threshold into 59 years old on Friday.
Ooh.
And so I picked up a lot of maturity in that crossover. And had a lot of time to talk to some people and just talk over the whole situation. Really, someone I really trust in the NFL, we had a long talk about it. And I'm now of the thought that this is not going to be repaired, that I think it's over. I could be wrong about it, but I sort of just feel like Rodgers is dug in and everything that we know about him is that when there's a grudge, it's not going to be repaired. I mean, it's that way with his family. It was that way with Mike McCarthy. I don't think he ever forgave him for passing him over in the draft in 2005. And whatever's bothering him here, we won't know until he really talks about it. I just have, my gut tells me he's not going to get over it. So it would take a lot of, it would take a lot of him. I'm trying to think of what the word would be, but you know, he'd have to swallow a lot of pride, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, to come back. And the Packers might throw a ton of money at him, figure out some way to do that. But to me, he still has ticked off a lot of people in the fan base. And somehow he's going to have to repair that if he does come back. But I just don't think it's going to happen. That's what's changed.
We still have more questions. I still have more questions than we do have answers. Ian Rappaport tweeted earlier this morning that Rodgers is considering retiring unless the situation with Green Bay is quote unquote repaired to his liking. So there's an unless clause. And I would like to think that the wording of these reports is very intentional and it's not just like kind of a careless, you know, okay. So there is an unless repaired to his liking.
Yes.
What on earth does repaired to his liking mean?
So he has left himself an in. I guess it wouldn't, instead of an out, it's an in, that he could come back. And, you know, but again, this is all about, now he's got to save face. I mean, you take it to this limit and you have to be prepared to follow it through. And he's kind of lucky the Packers aren't saying, you know what, we'll just, you know, you either come back or go play Jeopardy. And they're not doing that. You know, I think they're going to kind of buckle under and try to give him everything that he wants. And I just wonder if that's going to be enough. What is enough? What does he want? 2 years of guaranteed money is kind of seems to me what I'm reading on Twitter, and you know, that's what he wants. Guarantees that he'll be paid the quarterback for 2 years. I don't, you know, so he wants to screw them over. I mean, from a salary cap standpoint, then okay. And they have to decide whether they want to do it.
The reports that were coming out yesterday made it seem like this was beyond the contract. This was more of a mm-hmm. personal issue that he had with members of the front office. Like, do heads have to roll here in order for Rodgers to be happy?
Well, that's not going to happen. I mean, they would be stupid to do that because from then on, all any player would have to do is, you know, really valuable player is, you know, I want the coach fired. I want the GM fired. You can't set that precedent. I don't know what has to happen. Does he have to become assistant GM or, you know, assistant head coach? Or I don't know if it's money, if it's respect, if it's that he can't get over Jordan Love being drafted. Do they need to trade Jordan Love? You know, Tom Brady reportedly demanded that from Bill Belichick and had to go over Belichick's head and go to Robert Kraft, and they did it. I don't know if they'd go that far with this. I mean, that's a bad precedent. When is the Kentucky Derby? Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
So I fully expect him to address this at the Kentucky Derby. I really do. I think he has a national audience. He gets to, everybody can fawn all over him, and he can kind of set the record straight where things stand. And because he really does need to do that. It's not doing him any good to have people speculating about what it is he wants.
Right.
I don't think it's helping him.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm curious to see. I guess we're watching the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, which I don't know if I've actually.
I'll be on the blog. Thank you very much.
Well, okay. So we will not be watching the Kentucky Derby. Somebody will just upload the clip to Twitter and we will watch the clip when it hits.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll see the whole thing on Twitter.
All right. Well, buckle up, everybody. The saga continues. I can't imagine what Olivia in a month knows. Like, future me is gonna go come back and listen to this and be like, oh my god. Anyway, is there anything else we wanted to hit on with Rodgers before we move on to the draft?
Only other thing is, I know that found out or had someone check, and Rodgers does not have a no trade clause in his contract, so the Packers could trade him anywhere and he'd have no say in it. Now, he could quit, he could retire, and then that would probably void the trade. But if they have that leverage, and so I keep thinking, you know, be careful what you wish for. So they trade him to the Raiders. Let's just say they traded him to the Raiders. It would be a month before he and John Gruden are at each other's throat. I mean, John Gruden's the hardest guy in the world to play for. And didn't I see somewhere where the Raiders were one of the teams he would play for?
Yes, I believe it was San Francisco, Denver, and Las Vegas.
Right. Oh, man, he doesn't know what he's getting into. If he thinks it's rough here, oh, man. I mean, John Gruden is, he wears out his welcome because he's so intense and he doesn't back down from anybody. And I can't imagine Rodgers being happy there. So maybe they end up trading them to Denver. I don't know. But again, I'm still thinking that it's over.
I will be very intrigued to see if he actually does set the record straight tomorrow at the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know, because we haven't had a lot of like straight up Rodgers, which is so interesting because this whole offseason and throughout the season, we saw a lot of Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show where he would go and talk and be open, a little bit more open than he was, like at least to us in the locker room, or I suppose over Zoom these days. He did say this offseason or at some point regarding like his future in Green Bay, that there was no reason for him not to expect to be here next season on McAfee's show. Mm-hmm. So it was, to me, like, I think people might look at that and say, okay, well, he was lying, or maybe something changed, like things change.
I think something had to change, because if there was any possibility that he wasn't going to be here, that he had told them that I'm gone, I don't think they would have let Tim Boyle go. I think they would have found a way to keep him. And so my conspiracy mind tells me that they didn't know this before April 1st or whenever it was Boyle signed, that this is a recent. And I don't know what turned the corner to where it got bad. I do think that I do think he was frustrated by, and I do think the Packers screwed this up in going and visiting him in not together as a party. You know, it should have been all three of the silos. You know, it should have been LaFleur, Gutekunst, and Murphy, or it should have just been Gutekunst. He's the boss. He's the football boss. But they have this structure, which, again, I've been really critical of it. But, you know, Russ Ball's got a third of it. Gutekunst's got a third of it. LaFleur's got a third. So who's in charge? Who is the one who is the single voice for the franchise? Is it Murphy?
Right.
But I think Rodgers wanted to hear stuff from Gutekunst too. So I think that's where, you know, if this had been 20 years ago, it'd be Ron Wolf going out there and saying, let's sit down and talk about this. And in this case, it wasn't. So I think that was a problem. But it shouldn't be enough that the guy doesn't ever want to play for them again. I mean, something changed. And I'm sure would like to know what it was.
I went back, Tom, and read your story from 2019 on the front office structure and how everything flows. And I highly recommend, if you did not read the story at the time, even if you did read the story at the time, because I obviously read the story at the time, but reading it now, it's just like, I don't know. It was interesting. A little prophetic, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. It makes you wonder whether that's part of the problem, you know, the lack of communication, that who's doing what. And, you know, is it Murphy in charge? Is it Gutekunst in charge? Is it Russ Ball who's doing the contracts? You know, Russ Ball is every bit as powerful as Brian Gutekunst. So maybe he's mad at Russ Ball for the contract negotiations. I don't know. But it's screwed up, and they need to figure that out.
No, and it's interesting because, as you know, we have some on the record communication with Gutekunst, with LaFleur, of the two of the three silos, but we don't talk to Russ Ball on the record. Mm-mm. So it's just a weird structure how this all works. But anyway, yeah, so that's where we are. That's where Tom is now, where he's evolved. And I'm sure the situation will continue to evolve. We'll have another wrap up podcast after tomorrow too. So
yeah, and this thing's gonna go on. It's yeah. gonna, I'm afraid to say that our summer is gonna really suck.
Well, hey, if it means anything, it means more regular podcasts for all of our listeners. So yes. Something to look forward to, everybody.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to spend a little more time on the draft today.
The draft? What?
I know. A draft continues to happen. We are actually in the middle of the draft. It's wild. Wild. Two-thirds of the way done, actually, believe it or not. It was so strange. Like, I don't know. Today just felt different in terms of work-wise. Yeah, there was obviously still a lot going on today, but it felt less. I felt like I could think about the draft a little bit more today. But anyway, so yes, Packers had two picks in day two, second round pick, a third round pick. And let's start with the second round pick. Why don't we, Tom? The Packers selected a center out of The Ohio State University. And no, I am not talking about Corey Linsley, believe it or not. I'm talking about Josh Myers, who is 6'5". He's a 6'5" center. 310 pounds, 2 inches taller than Corey Linsley, about 10 pounds heavier. How much sense did it make for the Packers to take Myers in the second round?
Well, I think it was the right move because I think right after that, let me pull out my round by round thing here. But right after they took Myers, Kansas City took
62.
Creed Murphy, who is basically considered the one of the top centers. So their decision to take Myers there was probably pretty smart. Now, the fascinating part about it all was that Gutekunst said that they considered taking their third round pick in that second round position, which was fascinating to me. I mean, they had to make a decision. They had these guys equal on the board and they decided, well, we better take the big guy because big guys are more important than anything else. And so now really second round pick, this guy should be their starter. He should be their starting center come September. There's no reason why he shouldn't. And I'm sure that is their plan.
The other player in question, or that Tom brings up, that the Packers were considering drafting in the second round was Amari Rodgers, who the Packers were ultimately able to acquire in the third round by trading their original third round pick, which was at number 92, and packaging that with their fourth round pick, trading up with the Tennessee Titans and taking Rodgers at 85 overall. So a little bit of movement. Gutekunst, you can't go a draft without a trade. So, hey, why not? A lot of trades on day two, a lot of action. So the Packers ultimately get a wide receiver on day two in a Rodgers. So, hey, if Rodgers is gone in 2021, the other Rodgers,
there's going another A-Rod.
Exactly. So it's just everything works out for everybody.
I really like that pick.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a height weight guy with similar to how the Packers do this, and little guys don't really excite me very much. But this guy is not, I agree with Gutekunst. He may be short, but he's 212 pounds. And so he's not like Tutu Atwell, who was 5'5 and 170 or 155 pounds or something like that, some ridiculous amount. This guy's really Randall Cobb. That's who he is. And I kind of have a feeling he's a better route runner than Randall Cobb was. Randall Cobb was never a great route runner. This guy, I think, is a little bit more of a gadget player than Cobb was. although Cobb could play quarterback if he needed to and could line up in the backfield. Anyway, he's got return ability. That's huge. He's that slot guy that replaces Tyler Irvin, and getting him in the third round is not a bad deal. Now, they had to give up a lot to move up. And that was the fascinating part to me, was so they wanted to, they would have taken either one, but as soon as they took Myers, they went to work on trying to move up because they knew Rodgers wouldn't last, and they wound up overpaying big time. I did the calculations, if I can find it. So in the Rich Hill, that's the new, it's different than the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart. The 85th pick, which is where they moved up Tennessee's, is worth 50 points. And the 92nd pick, which was their own, is 43. And then they gave the 135th pick in the fourth round, which is worth 18. So they gave 61 points to 50 points. And that's how badly they wanted Amari Rodgers. But I commend him. I thought, I really liked that guy. I really liked him a lot. And if you're certain that he can really help you, then, you know, by all means, you get these extra picks, compensatory picks, go for it.
Go for it. And that is exactly what they did. So they've got two players that presumably can make an impact right away, including Eric Stokes yesterday, who can give Kevin King a run for his money too, for a starting role in the secondary. So three players that have potential to make an impact this year and in years upcoming. How do you feel so far about these first 2 days of the draft for the Packers?
Well, Stokes, I talked to some people about Stokes, and they thought he was overdrafted, that there's a lot of questions whether he fits what they're going to do. I mean, Scout I talked to said, this guy's a man-to-man corner, and aren't they going to be playing a lot of zone with Joe Barry? Yeah, I think they are, but maybe they have this guy, maybe they think he's going to be the star, you know, position or the slot corner. I think he's going to be a little bit of a project, and I don't think he'll start. And I think at best he'll be the nickel or dime. I think he'll wind up being their dime, and they'll keep working him. Amari Rodgers is not going to start. He's going to be, as he said, a gadget player. It'll be Davante Adams and MVS, and then, you know, Rodgers will be all over the place. But he's not going to play. I don't think he'll play as many snaps. It's Myers who I think will be the starter. They get three guys who probably can help this year and then can eventually settle into starting positions. And the last thing about the group, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, I mean, three huge programs, guys who've played in title games. I think that was done on purpose. I think they've decided they want big time players from big time programs, and enough with the small schools. And you can't pick three really bigger schools than that.
No, you cannot. And, you know, Rodgers, as we mentioned already, but being able to contribute on special teams too, I think can be a big help to the Packers in an area they've been lacking too, in a way that he can make an impact right away, even if it's not necessarily on the offense.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it yesterday, but Stokes can really help them on special teams too. That's two fast, physical guys that they can use. So they should be better on special teams just based on those two guys.
I'm curious what you think about Myers and his size. He's huge for a center, and he's the biggest center in this year's draft class. What are some of the pros and the cons of a 6'5", 310-pound center?
Part of part of the advantage is that he can play guard. Like Corey Linsley couldn't play guard. So if there were a problem where they needed a guard, and let's say Stefan Stepaniak winds up being a really good center, then this guy could slide over to guard. I think that's the biggest advantage, that at 6'5", he can be multiple. But there's also some really big nose tackles that sometimes you have to take on. And it sounds like they feel like he's upper body strong, kind of like Linsley. Linsley was upper body. Maybe it's something about Ohio State centers that they like their guys to be big weight room guys or whatever. The key will be, whether he can bend well and not let guys get under his pads at 6'5". But I don't, they seem to, Malaspina, their college scouting director, said that he thought he was really well built for their zone scheme and that he can move. So, that'll be interesting to have a big guy in the middle.
So the Packers are down one pick. They have six remaining on day three. What still needs to be addressed?
Well, I think from this point on, they can do almost anything. I think they should draft a tackle at some point. I still think
there's like two list. Tackles on the roster right now.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of tackles who are still left that they could get in the fifth, sixth, fourth, even. I think they should probably start looking for some special teams guys, not returners, but like some stud linebackers who maybe aren't ready to play on defense, but are wild guys on, start thinking about special teams. You do that in like the fifth, sixth, maybe sixth round. And then the fourth round and two picks in the fifth and two in the sixth, I think you could fill some spots. I think you need another running back. I think you need to possibly draft a quarterback. I think a tackle. And I think another wide receiver wouldn't be out of the question either. I mean, why not? Keep adding to those positions. And another corner. I would draft another corner. Honest to God, I would.
Everyone, everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they have the one thing that is really big for them is they don't really have any holes. The one hole they had was center. And from a starting position, they don't have a whole lot of other holes to fill. So I think that it's wide open.
True best player available, some consideration of needs, which is it's pretty much what's been going on this whole time, it seems.
Yeah, I'm always like best player available, my foot. Nobody does that. I mean, they'll talk themselves into there were three guys there that all had the same and we took the best player available, or there were three guys with the same grade, so we took the need. Whatever, everybody drafts for need.
I don't know. Just
what do you think of the class so far? What stands out in your mind?
I think it's pretty good so far. I think they've addressed, needs. We go back to needs, but going into the draft, we talked about a lot of the common positions that the Packers would have to address, that they still needed to address on the roster, not only for this year, but next year. Wide receiver being a big one with so many free agents upcoming, and Davante Adams, Equanimee St. Brown, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Devin Funchess, all becoming unrestricted free agents in 2022. So they have to bulk up the wide receiving core. And they added a player that doesn't do that, that serves a role player in the third round, which I think is an appropriate selection and an appropriate place to address it, that is not currently being filled by anyone on the team. So I think that's a big deal. And like you said, Tom, I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers added another wide receiver simply because they're going to need numbers at some point. regardless of whether or not Davante Adams is extended. I think the wide receiver pick makes a lot of sense, and the Packers can always use a corner. And the center doesn't surprise me. I think the only, I'm waiting for a tackle too, Tom. I agree with you on the tackle. I added up, you know, I have to find, I have like so many notes on my computer, but I looked up all the positions. I looked at the Packers roster and tried to figure out, okay, who do they have heading into training camp pre-draft. And then I also looked back at last year's training camp. And I think the Packers had like five or six tackles going into training camp last season. And I was that's like not including Billy Turner, because this was pre Billy Turner being kicked out to tackle. And I'm like, man, the Packers don't have any healthy tackles besides David Bakhtiari. They've got now Billy Turner and Yosh Nijman, and that's it. So there needs to be some numbers added to that room, and I'm waiting for the draft. And I'm probably blanking on some undrafted guy who's also a tackle as well, but it's just, it's substantially thinner than it was last year heading into training camp, which is a problem. So yeah, I'm waiting for that shoe to fall.
The practice squad guy with Zach Johnson, he's a guard. Jake Hansen's a center. I don't have the roster in front of me either, but nobody other than Yosh Nijman, I can't really think of any tackles. So yeah, I think they got to draft. They may have to draft two. I don't know.
And of course, sign one in undrafted free agency as well. So,
oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. They're going to do that. Right. Yeah.
So that needs to happen.
One other thing to ask you, what did you think about Tampa Bay taking a quarterback in the second round and Minnesota taking a quarterback in the top of the third round? And not only that, moving up for it.
Let's start with Tampa, right? So yeah. Good friend, I guess I would call her a friend. Not a friend of the show. I don't know if you know Jenna Lane, who covers the Buccaneers for ESPN. I saw her tweet, and I'm going to see if I can pull it up. Essentially, Brady had conversations with the GM over the last few weeks about the possibility of drafting a quarterback, and Brady was on board with the move. Tom's going to play as long as Tom wants to play. He's earned that right. So just, I think that juxtaposition of handling their quarterback versus how the Packers have handled Aaron Rodgers is pretty stark. It illustrates exactly what has gone wrong here. Listen, I think to an extent, the general manager is the general manager, and he's going to make the decisions he wants to make regarding the personnel. However, this is also a relationships business, and he has a relationship with the quarterback, a relationship to maintain, a relationship with a quarterback that is known to hold grudges, and that's not news to anybody. And it's his responsibility to navigate that relationship successfully, and clearly something went wrong at some point. So I just thought that was quite the stark comparison, Tom. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay with their Bruce Arians is not afraid to say what's on his mind or avoid conflict or whatever. So they did the right thing. They talked to Brady and said, yeah, we're doing this. Now, I don't know what Kirk Cousins' reaction was. I haven't read anything on that yet. I'll look when we're done. But the Packers are not faultless in this whole thing with Rodgers. It's just that I still don't get the strong reaction like, I never want to come back here again. That's the part that kind of blows me away. I understand him being like, hey, you know, at least give me that courtesy. I've been here for 16 years and I've sold a lot of tickets. But getting to that point where it's just like, I'm done with you guys. I really like to know why he's at that point.
I would too, but I don't know. Part of me listen, anything could have happened with the organization. He could have personal issues for whatever reason with members of the front office. And maybe his priorities have changed too. Maybe he just doesn't want, I don't know. We have no idea. And as much as I want to know, and as much as I think everyone wants to know, it kind of is, elements of this are going to be his business that we're just not ever going to know. And that's fine. You know, we're not obligated to everything, but when it comes to the organization, that I'm curious about, mm-hmm. is there a personal issue with the front office? Where did this break down with the front office, or is it something else regarding the Packers? I don't know. But if it's something in his own life, priorities, whatever, like that, that's, you know, that's life. That's humanity, right? Like,
yeah,
sure. That there's not that it is what it is. I don't know.
Yeah. It's both sides need to, look within themselves and correct whatever behavior isn't working. But all that said, I still just don't think it's gonna work out. I guess I'm gonna stick with that until I see something that tells me differently.
Well, post Kentucky Derby, maybe we'll find out something. We'll learn something new. I don't know. I can't imagine this is over by tomorrow. That where would the fun be in that?
No, that thing's not going to be over. It's not going to be over for a long time. I think it's going to drag. There's nothing there that forces a deadline. The only thing that might is the mini camp, which is mandatory. So if he doesn't show there, then you know, that then we have a good idea that, okay, it's serious and it's past June and now they got to start thinking about adding somebody else.
The podcast has turned into an Oreo cookie sandwich. We started with Rodgers, we continued with the draft, and now we've concluded with Rodgers. Anything else?
I love Oreo cookies.
I know, now I'm hungry.
Yeah, do you have any Chips Ahoy? No. Like those better.
I do have a box of Girl Scout cookies in the cabinet, so might be hitting those up soon. Anyway, Tom, anything else we want to impart upon our lovely listeners before we conclude for the night?
Well, I think we're done.
Good. All right.
I got nothing.
Our brains have been emptied. They've been just pushed out onto these airwaves. So with that, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We will be back. I believe we're going to record an episode after tomorrow's draft, but we're not going to post it until Monday morning. Correct, Tom? Is that the plan?
Yeah, or we may record Sunday just in case there's something
better
exciting
idea
that goes on.
Is you know what? Okay? I feel like we're saying these things now. there's a good chance something big could happen tomorrow and we're going to have to post something.
Maybe. If it does, we will definitely post something. But I think you and I need better communication. We're not communicating. Uh-oh.
Is there a rift?
Yeah, no, but
the podcast
hosts, you don't want it to go that direction, you know. So let's make sure we're on the same page.
All right. Well, I want more guaranteed talking time on our podcast, Tom.
Yeah, we'll negotiate that. Okay, go talk to my agent.
We'll do that off the air. Anyway, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. For Tom Silverstein, I'm Olivia Reiner. We'll see you next time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.